don't need to buy, take it off catalogs.
Rangers are there.
Okay, we'll get started. Just for information, I'm going to the park today around between 3:15 and 3:30, just for...
I leave at 3.
Okay, so only we have three, we'll be in business. Okay, good afternoon, sir. Can you hear us okay? Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, well, hopefully you'll be able to hear us. And what is your name, sir?
My name is Jerry Valdez.
Okay, Mr. Valdez, hold one moment. Let me see who's going to conduct your hearing. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Johnson will conduct your hearing, Mr. Valdez.
Okay,
just hang on, sir.
Okay, sir, could you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record, please?
Okay, my name is Jerry Valdez, 138998.
Okay, Mr. Valdez, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today. To my far right is the Honorable Dale Rittenhouse. Next to her, coming down, is the Honorable Luis Quinones. In the middle is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. To my immediate left is the Honorable David Mills. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson, and I will be acting as your panel chair today. So prior to this hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of the board's hearing today, sir. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, I do.
All right, so on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Sir, did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself today.
Okay, sir, also with us representing the Department of Corrections as well as the parole office is Mr. Grady, sir. At this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Grady in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so your hearing, Mr. Grady?
I do.
Okay, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether the community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. Sir, you have four allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you, Mr. Valdez. When I read those allegations to you, sir, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, I understand.
Okay, sir, the first allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision Number 5, as demonstrated by your suspected possession of a firearm on or about October 14th, 2017. Sir, wait a minute. Before you answer that, Mr. Valdez, I see that you do have a booking number as well as a DR number on your report. So you can either answer the question to these three charges, either true, false, or you can take the pill. The reason we give you the option of taking the pill, sir, is that these hearings are being recorded, and the attorney, if they choose so, can subpoena these records into court, okay?
Okay.
So, sir, I'm going to go with that allegation number one. It says that you're in violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision Number 5 as demonstrated by your suspected possession of a firearm on or about October 14, 2017 in Chandler, Arizona. Sir, is that true or false?
That is false.
Okay. Okay, sir, the next allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision Number 5 as demonstrated by your suspected involvement and participation in an antisocial disruptive group of persons on or about October 14, 2017 in Chandler, Arizona. Sir, is that true or false?
That is also false.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, sir, the third allegation states you're in violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision Number 5 as demonstrated by your suspected shooting a firearm within the city of Chandler, Arizona on or about October 14, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That is also false.
Okay, thank you, sir. And your last violation states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number five, as demonstrated by your arrest, suspected participation in the threatening and intimidating of others while in a group of disruptive persons on or about October 14, 2017 in Chandler, Arizona. Sir, is that true or false? Okay, thank you, Mr. Valdez. Mr. Valdez, based on the your statement that each of those allegations are false, we're going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Grady, to get some additional information, okay?
Okay.
Okay, sir, as when you're not talking, could you do us a favor and hold the phone down a little bit from your mouth because we can hear you breathing?
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, no, no problem. No problem at all, sir. Go ahead. Mr. Grady. Thank you.
Okay. All four of the allegations seem to be the same, except for like the last line. Somebody should read one of them and then go through all the different last lines of each of them.
Okay.
According to Chandler Police Report 2017-126-709, the following occurred. On 10-14-2017 at 1850, Chandler Police Officer Allison 754 responded to the area located at Chicago Street and California Street in Chandler, Arizona, in regard to a subject shooting at houses and into the air. The description of the suspect was provided to the officer Kuro by the victim. The suspect was wearing a muscle shirt, blue jeans, and had a loud tattoo. The victim reported his nephew had ran into the house and stated that he was hit in the face by an unidentified person. The victim, Guadalupe, stated he saw 5 to 6 walking down the street towards his residence. The suspect stopped and stood in the street confronting him about his affiliation with the Mexican Mafia. The victim stated that he had no affiliation with the Emmy and did not want any trouble. The suspect walked into the middle of the street and discharged a firearm about 6 times. The victim, Guadalupe, was shown a lineup and reported the shooting was not among the people in the lineup. After Detective Rogers interviewed the victim's sister, he suspected Valdez's shooting was not among the people in the lineup. After Detective Rogers interviewed the victim's sister, he suspected Valdez, Jerry 138998, was the shooter. And Detective Rogers was looking at photographs of people who could have been involved. Guadalupe approached Detective Rogers and advised that the offender Valdez, Jerry, was the suspect. Guadalupe showed Detective Rogers the offender's photograph on the Arizona Department of Corrections website and advised that he was the shooter and the suspect yelling. Through further investigation, it was determined that the offender Valdez, Jerry, 138998, was suspected to be the shooter. On 10-18-2017, the offender was pulled over on a high-risk vehicle stop. The offender was arrested by Chandler Police Officer and transported to the Chandler City Jail for his suspected involvement in discharging a firearm, which occurred on 10-14-17. The offender refused to answer questions or make a statement pertaining to his suspected involvement in these allegations. On 10-18-2017, the offender was later booked into Maricopa County Jail for one felony count of possession of a weapon by a prohibited possessor. Now, allegation number two. On 10-18-2017, the offender was booked in Maricopa County Jail for one felony count of criminal street gang assist. Allegation number three. On 10-18-2017, the offender was later booked in the Maricopa County Jail for one felony count of unlawful discharge of a firearm within city limits. Allegation number four. On 10-18-2017, the offender was later booked into the Maricopa County Jail on one felony count of threatening to cause injury and promote further street gang.
copy.
So we just have some information for you. I just want to make sure the rest of the board has it. Okay, sir, did you hear what the parole officer just was reading? Mr. Valdez? Okay. So, Mr. Valdez, what's not true about that?
All that is not true about him, but he that's not even true. I mean, do you have any six-pack, the lineup, that you couldn't identify? I mean, but if you put me in orange, of course you're going to say it's him. I mean, I don't understand why they arrested me on a Wednesday when this happened on a Saturday. They should have picked me up on a Saturday instead of on a Wednesday. I don't understand why they charged me with any of this. I was coming in from work, they put me over, I complied with everything. They ask me questions about these charges here, and how am I supposed to say anything about these charges if I don't know anything about them?
Okay.
I was working, I was complying with everything I was supposed to be doing out there in the streets. I mean, as far as me being out there running around with a gun, that's not me.
Okay. So you saying you weren't in that area during that period of time, sir?
Yes, I'm saying that. I don't understand why they picked me up a few days later. If it happened on the 14th, why did I get arrested on the 18th? I don't understand that. So you know what I did, I remember where I'm going to. I mean, I wasn't hiding or running anymore. I was continuing my day to do working, programming, dropping people ways. I do everything I'm supposed to be doing. And then they picked me up a few days later, trying to book me on these charges. I don't understand. I didn't understand it at that moment. I'm still struggling with disappointment. Like, why would they do this to me, you know? It says right there in black and white that person could not identify me. But if you put me in orange, of course she's going to say, oh, that's him. But that's how he suggested right there.
Mr. Grady, do they have anything else on? And this, it doesn't really say who was in the lineup, so.
No. I do not.
Also, these charges have been dropped.
The charges have been dropped.
Okay. So, Dr. Wright, I'm having a little bit of problem with this warrant right now. And I'm not exactly sure. There was a lineup that was actually shown, but it's not clear in here if this gentleman was one of the people in the lineup or not. And it says the lineup was shown to the guy, and that he said that the shooter was not involved in the lineup, but it doesn't say whether Mr. Valdez was in the lineup or not. And then it says that later the sister suspected Mr. Valdez, and then says they showed him a picture on the laptop on the computer, and then he said that was him in there. But I just do have some concern about whether he was in the lineup or what actually occurred or how they came about that information, being that Mr. Valdez is denying being involved or being at that location during that period of time. It's just not real.
I think under all their circumstances, Honorable Mr. Johnson, the board would just make a determination whether he had violated or whether he had not violated. If the board feels that he's not violated, we make a motion, that's the end of it. If we feel that he's violated, then we go to phase two. We don't have to go to phase two. We can, if you feel that there's enough evidence to substantiate the fact that he violated, this board can always make that determination that he's not violated. That's the end of it.
So Mr. Valdez, we don't have a copy of the police report. Where did you tell the police you were during this period of time?
They didn't even ask me where I was at. They just took pictures of me, and then that was it.
So there was a lineup that was shown. How do you know that you were in the lineup, sir?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming I have to be in the lineup since they arrested me on this. I mean, that's protocol. I mean, they're going to put a lineup in front of someone regardless. You mean that would mean, and there's got to be a lineup. Would mean either, because if I they arrest you for an end, and then not have the lineup. The thing is, they dropped all these charges because they know that it wasn't me. They had me in a six-pack in the lineup. I know they didn't. They had to have. But they couldn't identify me in the lineup. But they showed him in my orange, in my DOC acquired. Of course, they're going to say, oh, yeah, that's him. I'm ready for Victor right there. They said right there
they
could not identify me in the six-pack.
Okay, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. I have the information in front of me, so what you're saying is not exactly what it's saying. So I'm asking you, sir, where were you at during the period of time that this incident occurred?
I was probably at home asleep in my grandma's house.
Do you know the victim in this that reported this incident or his sister?
No, I don't know these people.
Okay, Mr. Grady, is he documented as being a member of the Mexican Mafia? I have an STE.
No. Who's the part? He's admitted to being a member of the Southside Chandler gang. Criminal street gang. Nothing inside the prison.
It just seems to me there's not enough information in this warrant. There's implied information, but it's not specific enough. The only thing that it says here, it says through further investigation, it was determined that the offender was suspected to be the shooter, but it doesn't give any details of the investigation. I mean, we're to assume it was the Chandler police investigation, but we don't have the details. That's all we have. There's just not enough information, in my opinion, in this warrant.
And Mr. Chairman, I mean, if I could just say this, and you and the other board members can disagree, that we shouldn't know this at this particular moment, but inasmuch as Mr. Valdez has stated it, and I believe that Mr. Grady has confirmed it, that there are no charges. I think that we need to just make a decision. Did he violate or did he not? Under ordinary circumstances, we wouldn't know that there were no charges.
Yeah, I meant to ask you that.
But he said it, and Mr. Bert, I believe that Mr. Grady has said that as well.
Yeah.
I just want to share my opinion, but
I'm just trying to. I mean, I never.
It's weak.
I
So based on the Department of Corrections information, along with the warrant information, along with the testimony of Mr. Valdez, I'm going to find that, I don't want to say that he was not delinquent. I'm going to just say that there's not enough information in the warrant to substantiate that Mr. Valdez violated the terms and conditions of supervision and that he may have lapses, about to lapse into criminal ways or a company.
I don't think you need all the rest of it. I think you just need that he did not violate the terms and conditions of his supervision based upon what you just stated, sir.
Okay, so then I would say based on the Department of Corrections information, along with the warrant information, along with information from the parole officer, Mr. Grady, along with the testimony of Mr. Valdez, I do not find that there's enough information substantiated in the warrant to substantiate that he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision.
I'll second.
Agree.
Okay. Agree. Perfect. You got
angry. Okay, Johnson.
So there's the not in violation.
There's just more of the
not in violation.
Yeah. Show the vote. Motion and second.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay, Mr. Valdez?
Yes.
Okay, so the board has voted that there's not enough information in the warrant to substantiate that you violated the terms and conditions of your supervision. So that's not to say that we're not the investigators, that we were out there on the scene, sir, but the board has found that there's just not enough information in the warrant to substantiate that you violated the terms and conditions of your community supervision at this time, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Valdez. I do want to thank you for taking the opportunity to appear before this board.
Okay, thank you. Is everyone on the stage or?
Well, it means that you'll be released once the next process, once your CO3 process, you will be released, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.